So great to be with you. Hello to our friends watching online. Hello to those listening later. We are in a church season of Eastertide, right? Easter Sunday was a wonderful day, but we're 2 weeks removed. 2 weeks is a while. We've had theology on tap. Maybe too many beers. I've been to a few Little League games. My family went off-roading this past week in Utah. Off-roading is saying too much. We went on dirt roads in four-wheel drive. And while we were in the airport last night, we saw in the news that conflict in the Middle East had really escalated. Easter hope, feels like a while ago. But in our scripture this morning, Easter is still today. And not in the sense that every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. I mean, the scripture is still set on Easter Sunday. Our reading will be from Luke 24, 36 through 48. You can follow along on the screen or in your Pew Bible, but to give a challenge to our trainee on visuals, here's a quick recap from the beginning of Luke 24, and you up there figure out when the scripture comes in. The tomb is empty. The women and the disciples discover it. Meanwhile, not knowing that the tomb is empty, two other disciples wander towards the village of Emmaus, and they encounter Jesus without knowing it's Jesus until he breaks bread with them. Then they rush back to Jerusalem, and they find their friends all in a tizzy because Peter has seen the risen Lord. And they say, "Us too." While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, how we need you. Oh, we need you. Help us to hear your word. Move in us, be our defense and our righteousness, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you will know that around 9 or 10 p.m. every night, I'll walk around the PCLG campus checking that doors are locked, windows shut, lights off, thermostats regulated. And I've been doing this forever. And most of the time, it's a quiet, meditative stroll. Once upon a time, two children of this church were in high school and started dating. Exciting. Well, one of these kids was an exceptional pianist and had started learning the organ. He had his own keys to the sanctuary and could practice whenever convenient. And I would see him on my rounds, he's a student in the youth group, good friends. But then one time, I'm doing my regular routine. I come in through this door just outside over here, the choir room door. I walk around behind the organ, the area we call the horseshoe. I'm checking the lights, just humming to myself. I walk up those steps over there, just past the organ. And two teenagers pop up, like they're up to no good, like they've been canoodling of some variety, and they startle me to shrieking. Shrieking! They terrified me, and then I started laughing so hard. And of course, I was annoyed too, because don't make out in the chancel is a fairly reasonable boundary, I think. But I was mostly recovering from my fright. Now, laying the resurrected Jesus next to two romantical teens is a rough comparison, I know. But the fright, the surprise, the disbelief, maybe even some comedy, that's what I imagine these disciples are experiencing when they're gathered. So I hope you'll go home today and tell someone about a time you were startled and terrified by something in the inn that wasn't maybe all that scary. Maybe it was even a little joyful. Now, of course, bewildered joy is not all there is to this story, because our passage this morning, from the evening of Easter Sunday, cuts to the very heart of our Christian faith. Did it happen? There's this famous hymn that begins, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And it's a great hymn. On Christ the solid rock I stand, right? But allow me to quibble. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus raised to life from death. And here we have the risen Christ showing up in their midst. He's as startling as a ghost, but he's real flesh and blood and bones. So that all our faith and hope is not sinking sand, Jesus gives the disciples some tangible and testable reasons to believe. He says, "Look, see that I'm alive. Use your eyes. You've got to see it to believe it." And these folks saw it. This isn't a video or a deep fake. This is in-person interaction. "Touch me," he says. "Sight won't be enough. Let's get physical. Use your hands. Touch my hands and my side. Note that the scars are real, but they're healed up." Well, they touched their friend, and they felt the marks. And joy was starting to blossom because he was real. And then he asks for some food. Jesus' need is an opportunity for his disciples to minister to him. And really, is there a better ministry than food? This is where I have an aside where I say, you'll remember that the youth staff likes to eat dinner between middle school and high school youth groups, 6:30 to 7:30 on Sunday nights. Thank you, Renee, if you're in here for cooking tonight, but, you know, we're there most weeks. It's a great ministry. Our need is an opportunity for you to serve. The disciples, they feed him, and he eats it. So he's visible, he's touchable, and his body functions normally. He's not dead anymore. And then he opens his mind to the scripture, their minds to the scriptures. Just as he did with those two disciples on the way to Emmaus, now he's got everybody there. They've seen him, they've touched him, they've fed him, they've listened to him, and now they understand more deeply what it all meant and means. Jesus interprets the Hebrew scriptures in a way that shows his story was intended all along. Finally, lastly, he tells them all to be witnesses. And after everything they've seen and they've done, they've felt, they do it. He's got these disciples, which means students, and they become apostles, the ones who are sent out. First into Jerusalem, and then into the larger world. About 40 days from now, I'll be walking a portion of a trail with some of our college students. And that trail is named after one of those apostles, Saint Iago, Saint James, the brother of John, who by tradition made it all the way to Spain to spread the gospel of resurrection. Now, according to Google Maps, a couple weeks ago, if you had a car and all the right visas, and you don't need to sleep, and there's no traffic, which you absolutely know there's traffic, you can make the journey today from Jerusalem to Galicia, Spain, in about 58 hours. But we know it was a lot more challenging in those days. It's a long drive. New York to LA, up to Seattle, something like that. The disciples, they did it. And we're here because they saw him. They touched him. They fed him. They understood what he wanted them to learn. And then they went out and they witnessed to it. They wouldn't have gone if he wasn't raised. So we're gathered here on Caring Ministries Sunday. It's just the day we picked for Caring Ministries Sunday. And for the deacons and for our church to share some of the leadership and worship, some stories of caring. You know, deacons, Stephen's ministers, people in Caring Ministries are people who look for the hurting, who see us for who we are, who bring a ministry of comforting touch. They have multiple ways of feeding folks, whether you just had a baby, someone in your family's sick, someone has died. They'll bring you food for whatever reason. And the deacons seek to understand the people they're caring for, and their minds are open to listening. The deacons, our Caring Ministries, offer a contemporary flesh and blood and bone witness to the resurrecting power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can they raise people from the dead? Not to my knowledge, but they do bring light and life into the darker moments of our lives. Look, touch, feed, understand, and witness. The same tangible things experienced by the disciples in our passage this morning are the same tangible things our deacons experience in their ministry to us and the wider world. Whatever you do to the least of these brothers of mine, you do unto me, Jesus says. Thank you, deacons, for seeing Christ in us and serving us with such love. Recently, our elder for children's ministry, Sue Ann Pang, was on a scouting mission in Malaysia because she and her family are going to move there this summer for what they say is a year, and we're going to hold them to that 1 year. On her trip, she went hiking, and she got into this conversation with an Australian college kid named Nick. And as they were talking on this beautiful hillside, they hear the Muslim call to prayer, which led them into a spirited conversation about religion. And Nick is very much not a believer, and ultimately said quite loudly in this public place, "You seem smart. Do you really believe in some supernatural God creature who made the world, who's actually real and with you as a spirit? How? How can you believe that?" You can hear, I think, the maelstrom of emotions in Nick. Sue Ann told me, "I really didn't know what to say. I'm not in the habit of discussing such things with strangers, actually. But then she said something like this. Looking around at all this beauty, I can't and don't understand and don't believe that this is all just coincidence. That these gorgeous flowers grow and die and flower again, perfectly formed every time on accident. That my body and yours works perfectly. All these separate, complicated systems working in perfect synchronization is just a coincidence. You say you think faith is for simpletons, but you do have faith. Your faith is in coincidence and chance and no plan. can you not at least acknowledge that my faith, my belief in a God that loves me and this world, to live a life of faith and love and hope, is my choice? A legitimate choice, thoughtfully made, not ignorant or foolish? And then the last thing she expected, Nick burst into tears. So Sue Ann gave him a hug. And as he mumbled how it didn't make sense, she agreed. She said, when I'm in despair, I pray. And it doesn't make it make more sense, but it makes me feel close to God and loved and not alone. Just out for a hike, Sue Ann saw this young man. She touched and held him as he cried. She fed him spiritual truths as she identified and understood his confusion. We all bear witness to the Spirit at work in that conversation. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do unto me. So thank you, Sue Ann, for sharing that story with me and with all of us. Well done for seeing Christ in another person and attending to his need. Look, touch, feed, understand, witness. Jesus' resurrection was and is real. It's made even more real, or at least more tangible to us, when we notice Christ in others and can minister to them as the disciples ministered to Jesus on that Easter evening. So may you be blessed with an opportunity to care for another this week. May you have eyes to see, hands to touch, resources to feed, wisdom to understand, and the courage to witness to God at work through you. Amen.